Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or just visiting family in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in Hawaii, at Alani, Hilton Head Island, or good old Walt Disney World, stay at the Poly, Old Key West, Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian, or don't forget the Animal Kingdom, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the Central Florida resorts, if you want to go to Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, again, visiting family, contact scootorlando.com. Show's also being brought to you by our friends and your friendly travel agent in me at American Tourist Travel. If you want to go to Walt Disney World, contact me and I'll be sure to help you out. Or anywhere else in the world, contact American Tourist Travels at americantouristtravels.com. And last but not least, head over to our website at It's All in WDW to check out all of our great sponsors. Okay, guys, we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Bye-bye.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool, buddy.
Well, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm sitting in my chair, and you're sitting in your seat in your car.
I am indeed. Cruising. But, you know, the good news is I'm actually going to work at friggin' 12:12 on a Sunday. Yay! I will be off on the same day I start work today. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
About time.
Now, do you got the Tampa Bay game taped, or are you going to make it home for that?
I am going to, you know, I'm a fan, but I'm not mega Doug fan, so I will text my son on the way home, watch or don't watch, and he'll let me know whether to waste my time or not.
Oh, okay.
She said, it's recorded, so.
But you don't need to know who you got to yell at. But
yeah,
you don't need to know who you got to yell at.
In the morning, have to get. Yeah. I don't want to sit up until 2:30 in the morning and watch them lose. So, but I will sit up until 2 o'clock and watch them win. Now, so that, you know, it all depends. So.
Well, I wish you nothing but luck with them, John. You know, I'm a big Drew Brees fan, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying. I'll try not to. I know I'll be happy for you guys if you win, for you and Tommy and all. But if Breeze wins, I'll still be happy too if you follow me. So.
Yeah, if Tampa can't do it, then I'm gonna root for the Browns for the rest of the season. And I sure would like to see the Browns do something. So that would be nice.
Rooting for the Brownies. So if all else fails, Tampa Bay loses, you're rooting for the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, that poor city, I wouldn't mind seeing them win their football team. I mean, they've won a couple times in basketball, but it'd be nice to see them win something in football. So,
well, I'm weird. Like, you know, and we know that. But I'll be, you know, I like Drew. So, I like Tampa Bay, and for you guys, I wish Drew Brees could hop on the box, and then it would be fine. It would be perfect.
Well, you know what? Maybe if he decides to retire and he wants to go to Florida and make a lot of money with tax-free for a couple of years, maybe he'll do that, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers can come down and replace him.
Yeah, there you go. Stick with the oldies but the goodies for a few years.
Yeah, there you go.
But anywho, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because I'm a big Andy Reid fan. I always told you the second team that I rooted for was always the Chiefs with my American Indian heritage. Me and my brother always liked the Chiefs, if you follow me. I used to have... I still have it up in my jewelry box. I have like the Arrowhead jewelry and all. You know that. You know how they used to sell them.
Yep.
So, I've always. And again, I'm not going to be one of these guys. They're my team. I believe me, I won't cry if they do lose. But the sad part is, I kind of have a soft spot for the Bills because I like the Bills Mafia and everything they're doing up there. So, I'm rooting for the I'll be happy. Let me put it this way. If Kansas City, the Bills, or Cleveland get in the Super Bowl, the only team I don't want is I didn't want Baltimore, so.
Yeah, well, you ain't got that problem, that's for sure.
No, so whatever three teams make it to the Super Bowl in the AFC, I'll be happy. The only reason I'm rooting for Andy Reid, because I love to stick it to the Philadelphia fans every chance I get around here, them saying the same thing they're going to be crying about after what they did to my Doug Peterson.
I can't believe they fired him.
No. Well.
But I'm confused.
Well,
I know he had a crappy season, but Jesus.
Well, they fired him because he won't bend the knee.
Yeah.
You know, they hired him. They thought they could push him around, and now he ain't letting them push him around no more. He hasn't the last couple of years, so now they have a problem with him. You follow me?
Yep. So that's your ownership group.
Yes. Well, Howie Roseman, the general manager, is the biggest problem.
Okay.
So, but anywho, we'll see what they have, and Doug won't be nowhere this year. He'll probably be on a team next year somewhere, and he'll probably do good like Andy did.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprising, that's for sure.
Well, what cracks you up is, and under the logic we have here, New England should fire Belichick.
Yeah, one crappy season, you're done, right?
You're done, you're out. I mean, Doug made the playoffs 3 years in a row, won a Super Bowl, first time in team history, had more injuries than any other team the last 2 years in the NFL, and then they fire him. Like, look, sometimes it's just not your year. Things don't go right. Not everybody has to lose their job because you had an unlucky season. So loyalty does mean something, in my opinion. I don't know about you.
NFL is definitely what have you done for me lately, and that's about it right now. So.
Well, the successful franchises, like the Steelers, still have Tomlin, and, like, what are they going to do, batter? They had bad there. I mean, Roethlisberger played bad in that game. Tomlin can't throw the football for him. You know what I'm saying?
No, so. I mean, well, the Steelers are the exception to prove the rule. I mean, what have they had in their entire freaking franchise history? Like, six coaches, and that's
yeah.
it? I think Tampa's had six coaches in the last 7 years. So.
Yeah. Well, New England's been loyal, and they've been winning. The teams that usually have some loyalty, though, have success if you stick by them. Like, Carolina finally got rid of Ron Rivera. And what's he do? He goes and wins. Even with cancer, the guy wins. You know, has a decent season, brings back the football team. So, I don't know. But, anywho, I'm just looking forward to some football today. The games were good last night. I feel bad. Did you hear the news with what the hell's going on with Disneyland with no annual passes now, John?
I have no idea. And the fact that they're not even open yet, I just it's complicated or confusing to understand. I guess maybe they're just trying to reset everything when it comes back or when they ever do reopen. So I don't really know.
Well, the things I've been reading and hearing is they've been wanting to do away with annual passes out there for a while because of crowd control as far as being able to get more people in because all the regulars keep coming, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Disneyland's always been much more of a locals park than Disney World is. So it's just I've always heard that the annual pass holders make up about 80% of the friggin' crowd at any given day. So, yeah, it would make sense that the business model dictates that you get rid of the annual passes. So.
Yeah, and again, there we go with loyalty getting kicked out the door. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very sad about I feel bad for our buddy Robbie. I hope they said they're going to make some new system where you got to make 30-day in advance reservations. Like, what the hell fun is that if you got to make and if you pay more money, you can make a 1 day in advance reservation, John.
Sounds wonderful.
So it's all another money grab, a way to make you pay more to be able to go faster. You understand? I mean, it's just going to be all the Hollywood movie stars will have tickets is what it's going to come down to. It's going to be money again.
Yep.
So it's very sad. I feel bad for people like Robbie, who I don't know how long he's had his tickets, but I know for years and years and years and years. And I hope they give chances to people that had annual passes for a long time to have seniority to buy whatever the new money grab system they're going to do.
Yeah, maybe it'll be something like the Packers season tickets where you have to get put on the waiting list and somebody has to die before you move up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Eagles, we have like a 30-year wait list here, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's our tickets here, our season tickets are willed. A lot of the people didn't even give them up because they were afraid to lose them. Like, they told them you could have a hiatus, if you understand what I'm saying. You had to pay your down payment or whatever. But a lot of people did it anyway because they were afraid that they would do a Disney and backdoor them somehow. I just feel bad. It's going to end up being all about money, John. And we all know that's how most of the time it is, but it's ridiculous. It really is. I don't know. I'm just eager to see what happens because, you know, if it happens there, it's going to eventually work its way down to Florida somehow.
No, it's a different mindset here because our annual pass holders make up a very small percentage of Walt Disney World people there. I mean, it's just the statistics. There's just not the loyalty of locals. And Florida itself is just much more of a transient state. And so we don't have that constant inflow of annual pass holders. Annual pass holders and overcrowding has never, ever been an event at Walt Disney World. If that happens, it'll be long time down the road. I don't see it happening in here anytime soon.
Well, we shall see, because usually one tier works to all parks. So usually they've have pretty much been loyal with the two parks being connected. So unless they totally disconnect them all together.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see it happening.
Well, if it makes a lot of money, I see it happening somehow. You know, I don't know. I'm just sad about that. I did see Bob Iger and his wife made a donation, I think $5 or $6 million to small businesses or something like that.
Yeah, they could probably afford it.
Yeah. Well, they probably did it right before the new year, John. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, of course.
Year-end tax write-off. But, yeah. I have to give him credit for that, though. And speaking of that, did you hear Aaron Rodgers was on a TV show the other day? And or a radio show, whatever it was, and he was talking about all the small businesses in Wisconsin or whatever. And right there on the air, he gave a $5 million donation because he was getting pissed off about how small businesses like restaurants and local hardware stores and stuff like that are being treated as far as going out of business, not being able to have people in and stuff like that. So he, right on the air, he donated $500,000 of his own money.
Good deal.
So I thought that was pretty good. And I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. You know I don't like the whole when he does the belt for the Worldwide Wrestling Federation and all that. They used to get on my nerves. You remember him doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Iger and spouse Willow Bay donate $5 million to fight COVID-19 in L.A. Willow Bay, she used to be the sportscaster, wasn't she? Yeah.
I don't know. I can't place the name.
Yeah, she used to be. She used to be on ESPN, I think. She probably still is. Bob's probably got her benefits and all covered through ESPN, I'm sure of that, and Disney. But, anywho, did you see these new pictures, John, of the Galactic Star Cruisers?
Yeah, I saw some of them. It looks like someplace I'll never be able to afford to go. How about you?
You know what the sad part is, John? I'm hoping within the next 5 years, I'm not saying Disney in general is a place I can't afford to go. But Disney Parks Experiences and Product Chairman Josh DeMarco. DeMarco is visiting Walt Disney World this week along with Disney President Jeff Vail. And they got to look inside the Star Wars Hotel Experience. I mean, those bunk beds look cool, but they don't look comfortable at all, do they, John?
No, it looks like a little too much of a shipboard experience with uncomfortable beds, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, John. I would love to go in here, but I don't need to know if I need to stay here.
Yeah, this is more like an interactive experience, just like we said, where it's a Star Cruise, you're on a cruise ship type atmosphere, so this is going to be your mega fans. This isn't going to be Doug casually watching Star Wars. This is going to be mega geek fan, not even me. Maybe my son. My son's building himself into a giant Star Wars geek, so this might be his cup of tea. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I'd feel like the way how technologically that room looks, I'd feel like everything me and Brenda were doing is being watched the entire time. You know what I mean? I'd feel like I was under a microscope in there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, so. And another thing here, Johnny. What the heck is this now? Construction underway on new Leave a Legacy at Epcot.
Oh, no, not another one.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind. Do all the people that already paid for this get theirs back? Or you know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You sign 20-year leases on them things or whatever, so I don't know.
Yeah, it says there will be two new Leave a Legacy displays at the exit of the park on both the east and west sides of the main entrance. Pictured above is location of the west side display, with a new Leave a Legacy wall being built behind the scrim. This area is just below and in front of the exit ramp from the monorail platform. You know where that is, right, John?
Oh, yeah.
So it's outside the park, basically.
Yeah, so it's outside the main entrance.
Yeah, on the eastern side, here's a look at the post that will support the Leave a Legacy wall. So they're showing you how it's being built, but I'm telling you, I'm not getting sucked in on this one.
No. I mean, we never bought any of that stuff. I wish I would have bought one of the paving stones out at when Magic Kingdom was doing that. But as for those little laser-cut plaque graveyard markers at Epcot, I can pass on that one. So.
Yeah, it says, Leave a Legacy originally located inside the park as part of the Millennium Celebration at Epcot, but was removed as part of the park redevelopment. Although sales were suspended, guests were originally able to purchase a laser sketched etch picture of themselves or a message to be displayed at the entrance of the park. Blah, blah, blah. The last 2 years have seen some major changes at the park main entrance, with the new tram lane, now new security checkpoints and new fountain, refreshed paint and graphics, removal of the Leave a Legacy structure, and more landscaping. The new Leave a Legacy site should be about the last of the entrances area work, completing the phase of redevelopment. So let's find another quick way we can scam some people out of money. Is that a foul cover it?
I have no idea, dude. I don't know. I mean, nobody's being forced to buy it. You don't.
No, I'm just, well, dude, you know how it is. I almost, we're not being forced, but it's still like, when you're there, I know. Me now, no. Me when it originally came out, it's like you so love the park so much, you want to feel like you're part of it is what you do it for. You understand what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I am part of it. I work there, so I got my Leave a Legacy. How about that?
There you go.
I got my name tag. So.
Well, I'm sorry. Did they charge you for your name tag?
No, you get your first one for free. However, if you do lose the first one, then you get charged.
Oh, what a what butt heads. what is Kiel, John, at the Disney Springs? The permanent close this weekend.
I don't know. What is that? Another store?
Kiel at Disney Springs will permanently close at the end of business day on Saturday, which was yesterday. And what is it? Kiel, another carry. The store opened in 2017, selling high-quality skin, hair, and body care products for women. That's a shame. It's a nice looking store, too. I hate when anything closes down, dude. We were picking up, we went to our local Japanese restaurant last night and got some California roll and got some salmon and some salmon and chicken hibachi, some spring rolls. And the lady in there is wonderful. She made homemade peanuts, these Japanese peanuts, and they were out of this world. She gave us them for free and the spring rolls for free. And then I look over, and remember I told you I brought Brenda that Ernie Barnes painting for Christmas last year?
Right.
I had it custom done. His art studio is all closed down from COVID and other stores. Like, every time I go by a shopping mall right now and you see empty stores, it's very depressing, people losing jobs like that or losing their businesses over this.
Yeah, but at Disney Springs, I don't feel too bad for the stores. It's just not a model that's going to work out there, and something will replace it, and maybe that'll be a little more of a store that'll do well out there. You know, I mean, the rent is extravagantly high out there, so you have to have a lot of customers come in and buy something if you're going to make it at Disney Springs. So,
well, did you see the craziness on Twitter about everybody at Disney Springs yesterday for the cookies?
Oh, the Gideon's Bake Shop opened yesterday?
I guess again, John, but whatever. There was like thousands and thousands of people there. And then you had all the haters on there screaming about, you get COVID, you deserve it. And like what is wrong with these people, John? I swear to goodness, Twitter president should suspend everybody from being on there, because 90% of Twitter is negative anymore.
Twitter and Facebook both. If you could just get rid of all and any political and negative comments on both platforms, life would be so much simpler. Or let's just go back without social media, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's getting to that point where it just causes more trouble than it's worth.
I mean, the only reason I stay on is for the show and the friends of our show, if you follow me. Yeah. But when I go through and read this stuff, I mean, both sides of the political party, shame on all of yous. The hate that's thrown around on Twitter is absolutely ridiculous, dude. I mean, like, the things they say to do to people, it's insane. It's like, why are you even on there to do that then?
Yep.
Like, even with us, like, I admit I say what I feel on this show, but do I ever, I mean, if I throw that much hate, John, please drive up here and smack me, please.
I don't remember you said that.
I give you permission. But the point is, it's just like, what cracks you up is the hypocrisy of one side screaming at the other what they want to do to them because of what they did, if you understand what I'm saying, John. It's like, look at yourself. You're all nuts, man. You're out of your mind. Just get along and stop the madness.
This past week has proven that our country is more divided than it ever has been, and probably since the Civil War. It's embarrassing to think about what other countries think about our division in our country right now. It's truly, truly sad. It really is.
And the sad part is that I can see both sides are crazy, John. I don't believe in either right now.
Doug, I think we've said it before, 90% of Americans are just peaceful, hardworking, fun-loving people that just want to get along, but there's 5% on the left and 5% on the right that are extreme goody-goo-goo heads, and that 10% causes, I would say, 90% of the trouble out there. Mm-hmm. So if we get rid of those fringe groups on both sides, life would be a lot better.
Well, I hate to say it like this, but you have the Lou Mangiellos on both sides that neither side can do no wrong.
That's absolutely correct. Yeah, you're right.
Defend the Democratic or Republican side no matter what they say or do. They're always right. And they sit there and spew about things the one side did that their own side is doing too, if you understand what I'm saying, John. It's just, it's craziness. But anywho, I'm getting back to the reason I got on that is, are the Muppets now going to take over the Hall of Presidents? I think the Muppets have more brains than our entire judicial system, our entire democracy. I think the Muppets are smarter than everybody in the House of Representatives and the Senate.
Kermit for president.
Dude, Miss Piggy and Kermit the Frog are smarter than anybody on either party right now, in my opinion. Can we agree on that, John?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but here it is. With Joe Biden set to begin his term as president of the United States of America next week, attention is now on Walt Disney World's Hall of Presidents and how the show will be updated. Following the last election, the Hall of Presidents closed on January 17, 2017 to rework the show and opened up January 2020. Right? About that long, John, it took?
It took quite a while to get that hair down.
Yes. To rework the show and include the new president. The refurbishment lasted through June and saw a rather tense opening, which saw heavy security presence that persisted long after the opening.
That'll be the same this year.
Yeah. A tweet today from officials' Muppets account has sparked interest in the possibility of Muppets taking over the attraction. Calling all Muppet fans, get ready for a major and important Muppet announcement coming soon. What is it? We have no idea. The Muppets are no stranger to the Hall of Presidents, having recently performed their live show at Liberty Square. The Muppets present great moments in American history, including the Muppets into the Hall of Presidents, continued Disney's recent desire to introduce existing characters to all new projects, and would perhaps avoid some political challenges that may be involved. I'm going to say it right here and now. I do not want to see the Muppets take over the Hall of Presidents. Do you, John?
No, and that would just be another embarrassing thing, the fact that we can't, our country can't get along so much that now we have to make a mockery of our presidency. So, yeah, that would truly be embarrassing. But at the same point, I would understand, because Disney doesn't want to have to worry about having to have, security guards in the Hall of Presidents every time. Can't we all just respect the freaking president, for God's sakes?
Apparently you can't, John.
Well.
Yeah, nobody can. But anyway, that's always been one of my favorite things, the Hall of Presidents. It would be sad for it to go, very much
so.
Disney Animal Kingdom Vice President Juan Rivers to retire, John, after 30 years. He's leaving the company, so have a wonderful retirement, Mr. Rivers.
Is that the guy at Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
Yeah, I've met him a couple of times. A really nice guy. So when he was there when I was over at Animal Kingdom. So.
And at Disney's Animal Kingdom, he oversaw the opening of Pandora, the world of Avatar, and most recently reopening the park following COVID-19. So he's going to go and take a nice little hiatus, which it's well deserved.
Yep, yeah. He's done a good job with the park. So.
Yeah, he took over in 2014. He was general manager of Aulani and vice president of hotels and business solutions at Disneyland Paris. So he's been around.
Yes, yes.
He was general manager of Disney's Wilderness Lodge and vice president of Downtown Disney. So he's had his share of Disney management jobs, hasn't he, John?
Very nice Disney career.
And Gideon's Bakery, that opened 3 days ago. Legendary Imagineer Kevin Rafferty to retire after 42 years with the company, John. And a lot
nice
of people
too.
stepping down. Walt Disney Imagineering will lose another legendary talent later this year with Kevin Rafferty. Retires after 42 years of the company. I know him too, because I seen him out at Disneyland. He did some of the things on Disney Plus that I seen.
Yeah.
Kevin has been part of many Walt Disney World attractions, which include Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, Muppet Vision 3D, Rock and Roller Coaster, Test Track, Mickey's PhilharMagic, Toy Story Mania, Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach, and most recently, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. He leaves the company effective April 1st, 2021. You can read more about Kevin's journey with the Walt Disney World Company, washing dishes at the Plaza Inn at Disneyland, in an interview at the official Disney fan club site, D23. Yeah, from what I remember, and I could be wrong, so don't send me emails, or the text, or the DMs. But I think he started out at Disneyland and then moved to Florida.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
I think that's what happened from when I remember watching the show on him. Construction walls down at entrance of Ratatouille expansion in France, John.
Yeah, I saw a couple of pictures of that, so it looks like they're getting close, and I check my website every day in anticipation of previews, but I don't even know if we're going to get some, because we're halfway through January now, and I haven't heard anything, and you would think it's ready to open at any time, so.
The wooden walls have been replaced with rows of movable bushes on wheels, which are typically used by Disney during soft openings and previews when they need to quickly open and close the area. Removal of the walls gives guests a peek at the entrance area through the bushes. I cannot wait, dude. I will say one thing. That is, Brenda is, every time I talk about Disney, that's the first thing she brings up. Like, she's still worried about going and all, but then I say Ratatouille, and she's like, yeah, I can't wait.
All the places to worry about going in Florida, Disney is one of the last places you need to worry about. We do so much there as compared to anywhere else. Now, if you go off property, I can't tell you what to do, but the way we go through, I've never had my temperature taken so many times in my entire life, believe me. So.
Well, it's with us, it's more the plane or the drive, knowing we left and came back.
Yeah.
So hopefully if we get vaccinated sooner than later, because she works in the with the dental industry, she's
healthcare office. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been approved. She's going to get hers, I think, within the next 30 days. So if we get both of us get ours sooner than later, then we'd feel we won't have to quarantine, because when you take a week's vacation and you come home, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks. I don't know anybody who has 3 weeks paid vacation they want to take in a row.
Anybody in the UK seems to have that all the time.
Well, they're much smarter than us. I think they get like 50 weeks vacation out of 52 a year? I'm just kidding.
Right.
But they get quite a few. They get more than we do.
Yes, they do.
And it says Disney is yet to offer any opening date for Ratatouille at Epcot, but has committed to open the expansion to the France Pavilion in 2021. There is no way they just open up that back area and don't let that ride run.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
So, and the new gelato place, Gelateria at the Italian Pavilion takes shape as the main building is installed overnight. That's pretty cool. They put a whole building up overnight.
Yeah, that must be nice.
Yeah, it sounds like the Chinese building that hospital in 7 days, 15-room hospital. 1,500-room hospital they built in like 7 days or something, John.
Yeesh.
Well, how'd you like to be on that labor crew?
No kidding, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You'll need the hospital after you get finished working.
Yeah, and I'm so sure they pay their labor top-notch.
Absolutely, and I'm sure all the safety protocols are in place, too. OSHA would have no problems whatsoever there.
Oh, no. But holy moly, I couldn't imagine. The new eatery coming to Italy Pavilion appears overnight after being brought to Epcot via truck yesterday. So it was modularly built off-site. Located on the far side of the pavilion, the new location will be a walk-up window, likely replacing some of the carts that have popped up across the Italian Pavilion in recent years. It looks pretty cool. It fits right in. It has like the scallop roof, you know what I'm saying, the tile roof.
Yep.
Disney or the Pavilion's restauranteurs, operator Patina, is yet to make an announcement on the new location. But it has the rustic walls and all, John. When it's all said and done, if you've never been there before, you'll think it's been there with the rest of the pavilion since it opened.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It'll blend in seamlessly. So, and that'll be a nicer place to get the gelato for Lisa than waiting for that cart outside, because there's usually about 20 people in line there. So,
hey, John, did you hear about this joint? Evermore Orlando Resort. Have you heard about this?
No, I don't think so.
You're going to. A new billion-dollar, 10,000-room resort project is coming right next to Walt Disney World. It is a monster, dude. It is a big hotel, dude. It's like long. It's and it surrounds this entire lake is the rendering. Looks like it has a major hotel, and then a bunch of bungalows across the water. The new billion-dollar, 10,000-room resort project is coming to be next to Walt Disney World, named Evermore Orlando Resort. The first phase will open in 2023 and will offer a new approach to vacationing, according to a developer, Dart Interest Florida. Evermore Orlando will feature a large-scale community of homes solely built for the purpose of vacation renting and operated with a hotel-quality standard. The resort will offer flats and homes ranging from 2 to 11 bedrooms, and also will debut Orlando's first Conrad Hotel, Hilton's luxury brand. Bordering the Walt Disney World just minutes from the Magic Kingdom in Disney Springs, the project is redeveloped of the Villas of Grand Cypress. Do you know where they were, John?
Yep, that's straight down 535 at the intersection of 535 and not Hotel Plaza Boulevard, but the other one. Yeah, the Grand Cypress is right there on that corner. So, yeah, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah, I know where it is myself. I've been by there
before.
Yeah,
and that's a nice piece of property. So.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a nice piece of property. I'm surprised it's taken so long.
Somebody else to buy it. Yeah. It will offer convenient option for groups looking to enjoy Orlando theme parks. Amenities will include 20-acre tropical beach complex and 8-acre crystal-lined water amenities by Crystal Lagoons, a new 18-hole Nicholas-designed golf course, and numerous restaurants. So it's going to be pretty darn big. It's like a 10-paragraph of what they're going to do, but There's a lot of amenities here, John.
Yeah, sounds nice. Sounds like another way to vacation close. I mean, you've got that place, you've got DVC, you've got the Marriott Vacation Club, and you've got Margaritaville now. So there's a whole slew of things to try out if you ever really wanted to invest in a timeshare down here.
Well, I'm just looking at it as when I move down there, it'll be another place. Maybe I can get some employment, John. Disney
yeah,
don't want
go.
Me. I'm sure with all these buildings going up, they could use a good handyman, John.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can find a position.
Yeah. The American Adventure Pavilion at Epcot, which is in America, Pat, will host a new exhibit next month, The Soul of Jazz in American Adventure. So I guess they're replacing all the American Indian stuff with this?
Yeah, that sounds right. A little alcove to the right when you go into the American Adventure.
Featuring Joe Gardner from Disney's Pixar Soul, now streaming on Disney Plus, you will be invited on a musical tour of America to learn about the inspiring genre of music. So you're going to learn about all that jazz.
Very
right,
nice.
John?
There you go. Very nice. Very nice.
I even had Spirit Fingers over here, John.
Very important.
Hey, did you watch Soul yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
What about the other movie I told you to watch?
I'm trying. I haven't got it. No. I've been working a lot, so I'm getting there.
All right. But anyway, have you downloaded WandaVision?
I thought about it. I might watch it because those are a lot easier to watch. They're like 27 minutes or something like that. I can watch those in a break and not lose the train of thought if like a movie. So I might download those today and watch one of those. But no, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I watched the first episode, and I don't know what I watched.
That's what I was afraid of.
Dude, it kind of reminds me of Bewitched meets
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Guardians of the meets Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, I like it. In other ways, it's freaking me out, dude. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And then I've heard that it just from the first episode to the second episode, where it's like, first one was a 60s sitcom, the second one's like a 70s sitcom, and so it's moving on. And I don't know, but then I've also heard speculation that maybe it's set in somebody's mind that's being controlled by Hydra or something like that. So there might be this bigger storyline that's going to fit into it or something. I don't know. So
I have no clue what I... Like I said, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it yet. You got to watch Mulan, John. I mean, watch that.
All right.
You got to watch that first. That was phenomenal. You still have that downloaded, right?
Yeah. I've got all three movies. And lately, for some reason, I started watching Sons of Anarchy. I've never watched those before, so they're pretty entertaining.
But, okay. Yeah. I'll tell you about that, because I'm all into that stuff. I listen to audiobooks about all the motorcycle gangs, if you follow me. I'm into Mafia, all that stuff, books on tape. I listen to all that stuff. Sons of Anarchy is really good for, like, the first couple years. And then it gets to the point, I won't be giving nothing away because you kind of see it already, but did they ever have any fun is what I asked at the end of the show, because all they are is chasing each other. John, you understand what I'm saying, John?
Yeah.
You'll get to that point. You're going to say, when are they going to take a walk in the park with their kids one day? Like, it really can't. Nobody in their right mind would do this if it was that scary all the time.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I watched. I watched the whole thing. My brother and my godson were like big fans, so we all worked together. So I had to watch it.
Yeah, my sister-in-law really, really likes it. But now I see why she likes it. This Jax dude's half naked all the damn time. So I'm like, okay, now I understand why my sister-in-law.
Yeah. Believe me, my wife even told me he's almost as good-looking as me. So. So anyway, John, I was saying to enjoy Sons of Anarchy. I said, Brenda said he's almost as sensitive and good-looking as I am, John. So.
Yeah, that's what I've heard,
yeah. Me and Jack, I understand. The thing is, I liked it because I understood what Jax was going through, being a heartthrob. But and a tough guy. You know what I'm saying?
All women want you.
Yeah, and I used to ride cycles, and my mommy and my wife won't let me have one now. ain't that hysterical, John? I grew up, I told you the stories. I raced motocross my whole young life. And before we got married, my mom, because my mom actually, I got in a cycle accident. I was racing my dirt bike, and I got in a cycle accident. When I went back to work, my mom and my aunt actually loaded my bike up on the truck, and they sold it on me. You believe that, John?
Nice.
Yeah, I came home. I had this custom bike built. It was like over almost $6,000. And I get home and there's $1,500 on the table. Mom, I go, what's that? I go, what's that, Mom? I said, she goes, I sold your cycle today. I said, get out of here. I went down to the shop out in the garage and it was gone. Here she took it back to the shop. I bought it. I went down there and fought and got another couple grand because I didn't authorize the sale, if you follow me, John.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine it was titled in your name, so.
Yeah. And it was a special edition, John. I had it bored out. It was custom ordered. Everything was racing on it. It wasn't like a stock bike. It wasn't a stock Honda CR. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, and then she told my wife that my mom forbade me from ever riding a cycle, and she put that into my wife's mind that I'm not allowed to have one. I used to, you know how you have the medium strips on the parkways and the expressway?
Yeah.
Behind my house, we used to have like a downslope where I could jump from one side of the expressway and land in the medium strip. And I used to do it at night and freak people out. Could you imagine, John, you're driving down the road and you see a little light on the back of because I used to have an XR250 racing enduro bike. And I used to ride that all the time. And I used to jump. And one day I had a guy with a Chevy Chevette lock his brakes up and go slide. And he must have thought I was ET or something flying in the air, John. But yeah, I was crazy. So
you would have been the guy who would have drove fast and went a D-bag.
Yeah, yeah, I was an idiot on a cycle, dude. I had no fear. But anyway, you enjoy Sons of Anarchy, dude. What else we have? John, what hour? You're working these crazy hours now on the bus, aren't you?
I'm going at 1:52 today, and I'm off at 10:07.
But so, last night you didn't get into what? You got home at 4.
4:45. Yeah, I was off at 2:45.
So I mean, basically, you ain't even 8 hours, and they got you headed back in. Like, isn't that a little like a scary protocol?
Well, technically, I had 11 hours off. So.
Oh, they don't know you drive 4 of them.
Yeah, it's my fault that I live so far away. It's not Disney's fault for that. So. Yeah. So, but yeah, technically, I was off 11 hours. So, yeah, then they have to give you 9 hours off. So, yeah, there was some guys that were on the same shift as I was last night at 2:45 that had to be back at I think the earliest was 11:45 this morning. So that's going to be a little bit of a toughie. So.
Yeah. Now, have you been able to grab any, have you been seeing any extra shifts for yourself or no?
I don't even have to try this week. I'm scheduled 7 days, so really can't grab any extra shift.
Holy moly, you got 7 in a row?
Yeah. Actually, and that continues from last week, so something like 9 in a row or something. Yeah, it's tomorrow's Martin Luther King Day, so it's a holiday weekend, so they're anticipating some bigger crowds. So, yeah, I work Wednesdays and Thursdays are supposed to be my days off, so yeah, I got those days scheduled this week.
So how are you enjoying it so far, John?
I like it a lot. I did a couple of routes that were somewhat boring. Couple of nights, but for the most part, I'm really enjoying it. Let's see, the last time I worked at Epcot, that would have been Friday night, I did a couple of drives over to, I think I had Fort Wilderness that night. Dropped off like 3 trips over to Fort Wilderness, took my break, and I came back and they sent me over to Saratoga Springs Treehouse Villas to shut down for the night. So 9:45 until 12:30, I drove from the Springs at Saratoga, you know, the big bus stop, over to the Treehouse Villas, drove through, and then came back to Saratoga Springs. So how many people from 9:45 until 12:30 in the morning do you think I took on that bus?
I'm going to say lucky 7.
How about 0?
Oh, geez.
0, not a 1. But the fact is, I mean, if they had one person over at the Treehouse Villas that needed to get to the front desk and they said the bus is running, you got to have it. So I was there. So, and I mean, really, that's for people coming back from the parks and stuff, getting dropped off at Saratoga and then having to take the bus over. But Man, I don't know. If I'm staying at the Treehouse Villas, I'm renting a car or driving, because that would be huge inconvenience. I mean, one bus is, you know, okay, but two buses to get back to your room, that would be a little bit of a pain.
At the very least, can't you rent a golf cart for the week there, too?
No, they don't have them there. They have them at Fort Wilderness, but okay. not at Saratoga. So.
Oh, maybe, hey, Saratoga, maybe you get some golf carts.
Yeah, something. I don't know, but, yeah. I was there. I ran it. So, yeah. But that was kind of entertaining.
So what's been your favorite route so far?
Last night when I came in, I worked out at Disney Springs, and I had Animal Kingdom Lodge. And the Animal Kingdom Lodge there and back takes 50 minutes. So I do like two trips, and it's time for a break. So that one's great.
It takes 50 minutes?
To get there and back, yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
That's a nice little hike.
Yeah, yeah. So you can only do a couple, and it's time for your break. So it's really enjoyable. I like it when time goes like that, you know. There's been a couple, like I had the West Clock shuttle one night, and that was the cast members getting off at the Magic Kingdom and taking them back to the parking lot. And that was good because I was looking for some of my buddies, some of my friends. But on the other side, it was only about 2 miles long. So you're literally back every 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, you're back at the same stop you started at. So that's kind of like driving the trains at Rafiki's Planet Watch. So.
Well, the cool thing is so far you seem like you've been rotating quite a bit.
Yeah, I started my bid today, though. So I'm at Epcot for the foreseeable future. Unless I pick up a shift at somewhere else, I trade for a shift, or if they really need somebody somewhere else. But for the most part, 90% of my time now should be spent working out of Epcot. And for the most part, it's interesting. You can see the different resorts and who goes to what parks. So let's go with out of the resorts that are open, Doug, the Magic Kingdom, which three resorts are the busiest that you shuttle the most people to?
I would say, let me see. I would say, I know it wouldn't be the three up front because they're right there. So, Caribbean Beach?
Yep.
Let me see. Caribbean Beach, Old Key West?
Nope.
Well, now I'm lost. Because I'm trying to think, because I know Contemporary Grand Floridian and Nepali are all monorail, so. The Wilderness Lodge?
Nope.
They
would
take the boat, so.
Yep.
And I know Port Orleans is closed right now. Saratoga?
Yep. Nope.
My bad. The All-Stars and Pop.
Yeah, not the All-Stars yet. They're not open yet, but Pop Century and All the Animation. Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And those are actually the three. So the Arctic buses, the articulated ones that you see running around, they only run from the Magic Kingdom. And they also only run to Art of Animation, Pop Century, and Caribbean Beach. And those are the busiest resorts altogether right now. There's a lot of people actually staying at all three of those, two somewhat value ones, and then the one moderate. And they're also the most popular altogether. When Port Orleans isn't open, obviously it's a different story, but right now they're the most popular with families, and especially Art of Animation and Pop Century for the little bit of an affordability factor. For some of the younger families. But then working at Epcot, which two resorts are the busiest?
Oh, then you would probably have to say I'm going to go what I would crazy. I mean, because I know you're not taking, you have to take the buses to all the main resorts now because the monorail is not open to go to Epcot, correct?
Monorail is not open. However, the boats are running to those resorts. So
yeah, from rivers. I mean, the boats are running to. The boats are running to the Magic Kingdom, but not to Epcot. The boats, the friendship boats from the Beach Club and the Boardwalk are running.
Yeah, are running to
Epcot. But I'm thinking you got to drive from Epcot now. You got to take a bus. You can't take the monorail, so buses are going from the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, and the Poly, correct?
Yep.
So I know it's – I mean, my first thoughts are Animal Kingdom and Wilderness Lodge.
Nope.
Okay, so then I'm at the Poly and the Contemporary.
Nope.
No, I'm wrong then. You're back at Caribbean Beach again?
Saratoga and Old Key West.
Okay.
And that makes, if you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because the people who really like Epcot, think about me and you and Judas and stuff like that, a lot of times they're the dedicated Disney fans. And what do a lot of Disney, dedicated Disney fans own?
DVC.
Yep, yep.
And yeah, there so, you go.
Yep, and so, yeah, if you really think about it, it makes sense. So.
Yeah, and Riverside was probably one of them, too, because of the, you like Epcot, you like a little peace and quiet, so you're away.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I said the Animal Kingdom Lodge, because I'm figuring you're out. You understand what I'm saying? You'd like your peace and quiet.
Yeah, and there's definitely crowds coming back. When I first started driving, even just 3 weeks ago, you know, New Year's Eve, the crowd the people I didn't drop anybody off at Jumbo House. When I went to Animal Kingdom Lodge, it was always just Kidani Village. Last night I did it three times, and I dropped as many, if not more, people off at Jumbo House as I did at Kidani Village. So there's definitely some crowds coming back, and maybe I don't know, maybe some of the regular rooms are finally open at Animal Kingdom Lodge now, as opposed to just the DVC rooms. So there's crowds coming back, you know, and there's going to be bigger crowds this week because of a holiday weekend, but I'm hoping it gets busier and busier, because I sure would love to see Port Orleans, Riverside, and French Quarter open back up, so...
Yeah, because I'm sure you're like, now what happens with you now? Do you keep switching from resort to resort during the day here at your Epcot loop?
No, right now what happens is I'll clock in, they'll give me a specific bus, and I'll just do that resort back and forth for about 3.5 hours until I go on break, and then I'll come back. And usually when the park closes, here's a little hint for you folks, and also for you, Doug, and don't tell anybody I ever said this, but you know, if especially around park close, at maybe hour 45 minutes, and it happens at Disney Springs, happens at not at the Magic Kingdom, but Epcot, I don't know about Hollywood Studios, but Animal Kingdom, but probably, if you're walking out and you see a guy in an orange vest and he's standing where the buses come in and he's talking to the buses, if you walk by him and go, I've been over at Caribbean Beach and I've been waiting 15 minutes and I haven't seen a bus may magically appear within about 2.5 minutes, because what that guy is doing is telling those buses that are coming in exactly where to go and who to take. So
there you go.
You might want to mention that. So
there you go. It's a nice little tip.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you see him, I mean, don't be a butthead about it, but if you mention to him, you know, any idea when that next bus might come, and in a polite manner.
See, what I would do is I would get Brenda to stand there, and I'd say, listen, I'm like, can you believe we've been waiting all this time and a bus still hasn't came? It's been, what, 15, 20 minutes? Just let them overhear it. But
yeah. So, and I always wondered about that, because me and Lisa went to the DVC event at Hollywood Studios a couple of years ago, and there was like these long lines for all the Saratoga and Old Key West when we came out of Hollywood Studios. But we had actually paid for a room at I think it was French Quarter that night. And so we walked over to the French Quarter thing, even though we were going to a DVC event. And we were the only people going to French Quarter, and within 3 minutes, a bus popped up. And now I know why. Because they were just waiting for somebody to get into the queue, and then the very next bus they sent over to us. So
that's pretty interesting. So after that break, will you switch to a different resort, or you go back to that one?
And once it gets within an hour or so, no, I'll go back to a different resort. And then once it gets within an hour, 45 minutes of close, or when they anticipate the big, big crowd leaving, what they'll do is they'll go to that visual like that. And then every time I come back, I'll go to a different pickup zone. So I'll come back one time and they'll have people going to Pop Century. I'll come back next time, there'll be people going back to Caribbean Beach, and then Old Key West, and then Saratoga. And that's what's interesting, because then it's kind of like, what do I get?
Yeah.
You know, so, and okay, all right, so here's another good one for you. All right, out of all the background loops, okay, so not the theme park, because every time I come back to Epcot, I get to listen to the Epcot background loop, which is great. Absolutely love it. But going to the resorts, which two resorts have my favorite music in the background, do you think?
Oh, now you're making it even harder. I don't know. I don't think you'd like the elliptical music or calypso music of Caribbean Beach, would you, John?
That one's pretty good, but no, there's one kind of like that that's even better.
I'd say Old Key West.
You got it. It's got Jimmy Buffett. It's got come, Mr. Tallyman, tally my banana. So, yeah. It's got like 3 Jimmy Buffett songs on it. So that one's really good. And then there's one more that I like a lot.
Let me see. I'm trying to think. How about Coronado Springs?
No, that one's just like, and all of them aren't bad, but that's just kind of peaceful. Some of them are way too peaceful. Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge, they're just peaceful music, and you get a little drowsy. But no, one of them has some pop songs.
Well, then probably Pop Century.
Pop Century, and it has the theme songs from Stripes, from The Godfather, the opening credit songs. And then it actually has like Laverne and Shirley and a bunch of corny stuff like that. So I love that one. That one's fantastic. So
we're going to do it our way. Yes, our way. Make all our dreams come true.
Yeah, and that's actually the funnest one, too, to actually get the crowd involved. You'll actually see people doing the YMCA and stuff on the way back to the resort. So that one's kind of fun. So.
Yeah. I bet it is pretty interesting. You do get the nice sights and sounds of driving through property every day. That must be really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like every once in a while, I'll just turn over or I'll just turn my head and there's the big purple Epcot and the Spaceship Earth looking at you. So that's really nice. So I saw that last night. And then, you know, so I got some safety reminders for folks. Doug here. All right. Do you know what the BRT lanes are?
The bus ride-only lanes, right?
You're close. Bus rapid transit. People, don't put your car into a bus rapid transit lane, please. Please, for all that is holy, please do not go down those lanes. I actually, and you'll see people, if you are in one, do not panic. Don't, it's not the end of the world. Even if you get all the way to the end and you get down there to the cop, he's just going to tell you to make a U-turn and leave. He's not going to give you a ticket. He's not going to arrest you. So for God's sakes, don't panic. We almost had a guy panic the other day because he's surrounded by buses, you know, and I understand you feel like an ass basically is what you feel like. But so he's got 2 buses ahead of him and then I'm 3 buses behind him. And then he decides he's going to pull into the opposing traffic lane and try to pass the buses so he can get out of the BRT lane. Well, the light had just turned, and so when he got into that opposing lane, he's looking at giant headlights coming right at him. So he's quickly made the right decision and got back in front of the bus that was there. But if he would have pulled out 5 seconds later, he would have killed his entire family.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, don't do that. It's not the end of the world, you know? I mean, relax. So whatever you do on property, if you miss your turn, if don't have the money to pay parking, whatever, it's not the end of the world. You see so many people make bad decisions when they're driving. So, including some bus drivers, but, oh, my goodness.
John, me and my wife talk about that all the time. Even locally, it's like, if these people that act like if they miss their turn, they're going to fall off. The world is flat. They're going to fall off. They're not going to be able to go up and turn around, or they're going to end up in a bad neighborhood. Like, they're going to not survive missing their turn.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the universe is not going to crash on you, you know? I mean, and you're on vacation. Relax. Take a pill. Relax. And like I said, if you do get caught in those lanes, don't panic. So.
No, it's crazy. Oh, let's continue with the buses, John. I don't think we got to talk about this last week because it came after the show.
Yeah, the mirrors. Yep.
What about the Magical Express? Are you, like, and again, we talked earlier about political stuff, and I put Lou Mangiello in. Do you believe he defended it?
What was his reasoning?
Well, he said with them building the new train station, which he said it should be open next year, John. Have you heard anything about a train being available next year?
I heard 2022, so technically I guess that would be the end of next year, maybe.
I heard 2025. I heard 2022 is going to be the one to Miami, and after that's done, the one to Orlando is going.
I don't know.
Either here nor there, he's saying he understands why they're doing it. I mean, are you kidding me? Then money should come off my trip. I don't see any reduce, because even though they say it's free, John, me and you know that was never free. That's part of your package. Am I wrong? Disney wasn't doing that for free.
Disney had done that originally because there were so many people coming here and so many people leaving property that the best way to trap people on property was to not have them get a rental car. And to not get a rental car, they were just shuttling people back and forth. Financially, it made sense for Disney because they were trapping people on property. Without a rental car, they couldn't go to SeaWorld, they couldn't go to Universal. And so I don't really understand why they have made this decision, because at the end of the day, as Bob would like to say, it really does put guests in a position where they are going to be renting cars. And so on that fifth day, instead of just going to Disney Springs, well, let's go over to Universal. Let's go to the beach. So it enables people to leave property a lot easier. So I'm not sure I understand the reasoning behind it. And from what I've heard, it's as much Mears as it is Disney. And for those who don't know, the Magical Express is run by an independent company called Mears Transportation. It actually is subcontracted out. So those are not Disney cast members that drive you back and forth. Those are Mears employees. I'm a little confused as to what happened there. And I know they had the same issue and Mears took over the Swan Dolphin route. So I don't know if it's all a financial decision on Disney's part or if it's a disagreement with Mears on the prices they were charging or something of that sort. I would go with that. And I think Mears wanted a bigger piece of the pie because they're not as busy now. And so that's what it really comes down to is a disagreement that way. So,
well, I you could be right. I think it's monetary. And the other thing is
monetary. I just don't know from what end, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I think Disney didn't want to pay them no more, and now that they're charging you to park, like, so now lose whole argument that they are charging you to park to stop you from driving on property, because they're doing it. His whole argument for that was, they're doing it for you. Let me play devil's advocate here. They're going to charge you to park, so less people drive on property. So if less people drive on property, you get around the parks easier. So they're doing it for you. They're not doing it because they want $25 a day. God, they don't need that money, but the only way they can make you stop you, you know they have to charge you something. They just can't say, please don't drive if you can afford to stay without a car. But no, they're doing it for you. That was Lou's whole argument, that it was to keep traffic down. So where's his argument now, Mr. Lawyer?
Yeah, because this is definitely going to drive traffic up.
Yeah, because now everybody's going to rent a car, and now they'll probably make a deal with Enterprise and all them and get paid for them for rentals, and then charge you to park on top of it. It's just, again, prices keep going up, and they're giving us less and less, and that's why I'm scared too about what they're going to end up doing with passes, because you know, John, we're going to be hearing once this vaccine and all over, there's going to be another rate hike. You know, they're going to raise prices again. If they raise ticket prices this year, there's never a year they're not going to be raised.
Oh, well, that's just the way it is. Yeah, the tickets are going to go up every year.
Yeah.
There's
well,
no doubt.
Back around September 11th, we had a few years where they didn't go up. They actually went down. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've got some really good deals right now. I mean, especially for Florida residents. But
yeah, they have 35%. Sent off rooms, but as soon as this is all over, you know that's gone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's gone quickness. But I just didn't. I mean, I just couldn't believe when they said they were stopping that. And you want to know? Like, I'm a travel agent. You know this, John. I bet you 90% or 95% of the time, people go in there for the first time. One of the biggest things I get praised or talked about is how great Magical Express is to help them get to and from.
Well, I mean, that's a major reason why, or one of the reasons that me and Lisa have talked about not going to Disneyland just yet, because we've had some really big long vacations here where I was making nice money and we could have went to California if we wanted to instead and stayed at DVC out there and stuff like that, but you have to arrange your own transportation, or you have to take the bus that it's not, you know, official Disney type thing and all that. So, and I just didn't want to deal with all that. I want to, you know, if I'm going somewhere, it's great to be picked up and delivered back without any any qualms and stuff like that. So I can see why people love it. So.
Yeah, they do have it. I have booked a few of them, John. And yeah. It's pretty much like Magical Express, to be honest with you. You just pay for, you prepay for your round trip transportation, but it is pretty much just for Disneyland, if you follow me.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a bad deal. If you ever do decide to go, I could hook you up with that, because I got my friends. I've gotten quite a few people on that. So we get Robbie to meet you at the airport. So what the hell?
Oh, there you go. There you go. He can take me over.
But I just Magical Express was such a wonderful, wonderful thing, especially with people. With what are they going to do now with the rooms not ready? Just you hold your luggage. I mean, you got to unload your. I mean, it was so nice. Your luggage would be held for you. You can go right to the park. You know.
Yep.
So, and then the extra magic hours now, John, taking them away.
That's a business model that Universal's had for years, and I think Disney was just waiting for a time to implement it here, and COVID-19 has enabled that to happen, and so that's not surprising to me at all. So it's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
No, it's just, I mean, and that's all of our listeners, a lot of friends of the show, that's what everybody just keeps saying, they're just slowly picking away everything that we truly loved about. I mean, now it's get your own car, and then you know they're going to charge. If there's a train that is put in, that ain't going to be free, John.
Oh, no, you're going to have to pay for it. So
it's, I mean, I had so many people, like my friends up in Boston who ended up going. They were like, thank goodness for Magical Express. Who wants to rent it? Like me and Brenda, I've driven there so many times. I have no problem renting a car at the airport and getting there. Like I actually would, I've done it. I would prefer that myself. But so many people that never have driven in that area, especially I-4. What's that going to make I-4 without Disney Magical Express? How many more cars is that going to add to that craziness?
That's fine. That road's built for traffic.
Oh, yeah. That road's built for backups.
That road's built for aggravation and frustration.
But all kidding aside, how massive of traffic jams are going to be next year when there's no Magical Express, when all those thousands and thousands of people a day now are stuck driving, and then we're going to have the same problem that you're talking about with the idiot in the bus lane, going to be the idiot on I-4, and I-4 is not an easy road to manipulate if you're not familiar with it.
Well, first of all, I didn't call him an idiot.
I did.
Uninformed Disney.
I did. John had no... No words like that.
I'm not calling anybody any names, especially guests.
No, I did. Doug did. But anywho, you know what I'm saying. The knuckleheads on I-4, John, you see them every time you drive on that road.
Yeah, and the hint for you or for anybody else that would be coming is do not take 528 to I-4 and then have to get on I-4. If you take the 417... That's on the back side of the airport, not the front side of the airport. If you take the back side of the airport, 417 dumps you right onto Disney property. There's a lot less traffic. So don't take 528 I-4. Take 417 right to Disney property. So.
Well, I'll have to try that next time because getting to our house.
Stay away from I-4. Just stay away from I-4. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, because I drive down, I take 95 to I-4. You know what I'm saying? Take it straight on in. And then it's fine all the way up to you. Once you get by the Orlando Magic Stadium there.
Yeah.
It's all from there in is HE double hockey sticks.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're making this thing called Ultimate I-4, which is their expansion project that's supposed to be done in like 2025, and it's just it's atrocious. So I'm so happy I don't have to drive there anymore.
Dude, that road has been under construction from Jacksonville to Orlando, sent to Disney World. Somewhere along there is under construction every single time I come down. The Jacksonville Bridge area, that was under construction for like the first 15 years we drove down there.
Yeah, I think that was under construction when I drove down in the Navy. I wouldn't doubt it's being updated now. So.
Yeah, it is crazy how... And then I-4, the same thing. Ever since we've been coming down, that road has been under construction. But anywho, I just can't imagine it now how it's going to be once there's no more Magical Express. Because, I mean, the rental car companies at the airport, they're probably happy. And then Uber, I mean, Uber's like, what, $40, I think, round trip?
It's probably got to be around that. Uber and Lyft are the worst drivers on property, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind saying that. Absolute worst. Impolite. Rude.
Yeah.
And dropping... Yesterday, Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm at Kidani Village. So an Uber driver dropping people off in the bus unload zone. Yeah, that's safe. Yeah, why don't you go to the front desk? Wouldn't that make a little more sense to go up to the Portage?
Yeah,
go and drop people off there?
Yeah,
why would you decide the bus load zone is your proper place?
No, so, drop them in at the valet and be done with it.
Yes, I don't know.
No, but, and I'm lying. I think it's $70. So at $35, and if with a tip, you're talking $40. So that's if you plan on doing that, there's an extra $80 on your vacation, John.
Yeah.
Depending on what size car. Now that's a compact. Now if you need a van for or a bigger car, you're talking another $100 to $125 for a round trip.
And at that point, just rent a car.
Well, the problem is, John, me and you, that's fine. But, like, I know a lot of friends of mine that I would not allow them to drive I-4 from the airport. Think about it.
Yep.
I mean, and I'm not being smart, like, but do you have friends or family members that you would be afraid of if they flew into that airport and never been to Florida before to drive from there to Disney World?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's my point. So a lot of people are going to have to use Uber or taxis or something like that because they aren't familiar with the area. So I don't know. Between that and the extra magic hours being gone, it's very sad. And then the biggest thing is the second barge is up at the Epcot. How bad does that look, John? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't had a chance to walk into parks and ever since I started because of the hours I'm working. So no, I haven't seen it. I've just seen it backstage, but I haven't seen it up front yet. So
it is so sad looking, John. There's a couple pictures looking from where the two shops are at World Showcase. You know, you get there, the two stores there.
Yep.
And you're looking across at the American Adventure. It just ruins the view, John. So bad.
Yeah, it's big. It really it takes it out. So.
No, it's
all right. Hold on a second.
Where'd you go, John?
Hello. Alrighty.
Checking in.
Epcot. Yep.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, if you do get a chance to head over to Hollywood Studios, they get a new Spice Sorbat Cider. Warms you up at Star Wars Galaxy Edge. It's like $4 for the cider, $3.89 for the cider without booze, and with booze it's $13. So you're telling me that one shot
of liquor is $10.
One shot is worth $10. I mean, come on, Disney. Holy.
Yeah, alcohol's got the biggest markup of anything out here, so.
New creamsicle cupcake at the Wilderness Lodge, Roaring Fork. Looks pretty good. They liked it. I'm just going over the rest of the stuff. New Delhi poutine disappoints at the Delhi poutine at Disney Springs. I have to admit, that's one of the other few things. Like, remember we met you? I met you and Judith and all. Like, it was okay, but that poutine wasn't that great. It wasn't hot enough.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but you got to head in, right, John?
Yep, I'm heading that way. Well, I got to find a parking space first.
Oh.
Apparently, everybody is parked here today. So.
Well, the new Pirates of the Caribbean sign is up now, John. They got that back. Remember we had the flag was up with no sign on it?
Yeah, yep. Well, that's good.
I'm just going through. There's nothing else here, John. I'm glad you're enjoying. I had a feeling you would enjoy this over any of the other jobs you had there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's by far my less physical job I've ever had. So, yeah, John, once I'm comfortable here, I'm going to have to definitely get a gym membership or something of that sort. Otherwise, I'm going to end up weighing 500 pounds because there's very little physical activity involved in this job. So,
well, at the very least, once you get yourself situated, maybe you get some decent hours. Maybe you can even get some exercise by walking around the parks a couple times a week.
That's what I was doing. Yeah, that's what I was doing. But getting off at 2:45 practically makes it impossible. So this week it should develop into a little better of a situation. I think tomorrow I get off at 8, but unfortunately the park closes at 8. So it was close, But, you know, but at that point, I could still walk around Disney Springs or something if I really wanted to. So, but working 7 days a week, I better get home before the wife it gets too frustrated with me. So.
Well, hey, John, there's nothing she can get frustrated about. You're keeping food on the table with all these hours right now.
Yeah. That's the idea.
So, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I'm going to go cut this hibachi of a show up. I think I'll be done cutting this show together when you're driving home tonight, John.
There you go. Make a sushi roll out of it.
So, but hopefully your son, for you, tells you that the Bucks had a good game.
Yep.
Well, when's your break?
It should be around 5:30 or 6.
Okay, so you'll
right as the game's starting. So, yeah, I don't want to watch it then. So.
All right, well, the game starts at 8, I think, tonight, don't it? Oh, no, it's 6:30.
6:05 or something. Yeah. Crap. Yeah, 6:35, something like that.
Well, enjoy your night, Johnny. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye-bye, folks. Have a good week. Try to get along. And just move on, please. Just move on.
Yeah, go get your shot. Everybody be kind to one another. And we can maybe all get on the bus with John soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Be good, guys. Bye.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools. And there's no tab here at the Main Street Pub. As usual, drinks are on the house. But if you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. Also, you can find us on Twitter at WDW Main Street and Facebook at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. Also, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. You can find our fine sponsors over there, Elite Vacation Homes, David's Vacation Club Rentals, Scooterlando, American Tourist Travel. And again, guys, please be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.